primer lugar, quería
First of all,
agradecer, bueno, la oportunidad de estar
I
aquí,
wanted
de
to thank the organizers for this opportunity to share the work I've been doing in several orchestras with you here today. And I feel very fortunate to do this for a living. I work in, with the things I love. I have a passion for my work. And, well, as a matter of fact, many of those who hire me to do the things I love are sitting here today. So thank you for bringing me here today to share all these all this knowledge with others who have not applied it or perhaps don't know the projects I've worked with. The key project I'm discussing here is Adopt a Musician project. It's pretty much the Anglo-Saxon project model. It's a highly interactive and with high participation, particularly of the audience, of the listener. We don't want our audiences to remain passive. We want them to play an active role. And although it's a learning model in different stages, elementary school and secondary school, it branches out and generates plenty of possibilities that can be extrapolated to different contexts or situations like social projects or inclusion, integration projects. The Adopt a Musician project was first implemented in the National Spanish Orchestra back in 2005. And Joseph Pons, the one who brought over Marc Huisas, who was the first, the founder and developer of the program, was the first step. And now the project is being implemented in other national, in other Spanish orchestras. But since it started off with a national orchestra, that's the one I will talk about. I have hours and hours of contents about seminars, classes, concerts, but as I prepared my conference, I got so carried away with all those videos that I didn't set up anything new. So I brought up my old material, which, by the way, is subtitled in English. So I'm using this material from the National Orchestra, and perhaps I will sprinkle a few anecdotes about other orchestras. And since an image is worth a thousand words, rather than explaining the project and then showing the video, I think it would be more interesting for you to watch the video, and then I will explain how the project was developed.
Pero sin duda, donde mejor se engloban los objetivos de nuestro proyecto educativo es en el programa Adoptar un Músico. Esta propuesta, que acerca a los alumnos de educación primaria y secundaria al corazón mismo de la composición musical de la mano de los músicos participantes, fue puesta en marcha en 2004 por el pedagogo musical Marc Huisas, a instancias del maestro titular Josep Pons, tras más de dos décadas implantada en Reino Unido. Este modelo implicativo, desarrollado en el programa Adoptar un Músico, propone trasladar el interés por la música y por las artes en general a las aulas. Desde su primera edición, Adoptar un Músico cuenta con la inestimable colaboración del Departamento de Artísticas del CRIF Las Acacias, que coordina y gestiona la selección de los centros educativos participantes, así como la formación del profesorado. El núcleo del programa es el trabajo directo de niños y jóvenes en torno a la creación musical, de la mano de instrumentistas y cantantes de la Orquesta y Coro Nacionales de España, dispuestos a compartir con ellos su experiencia artística y su escenario habitual, el Auditorio Nacional de Música, donde, como cierre de cada proyecto, los alumnos ofrecen en concierto sus propias creaciones, mostrándose como compositores e intérpretes a la vez. En definitiva, los participantes tendrán la oportunidad de sentirse no solo público activo, responsable y crítico, por conocedor del lenguaje que se maneja, sino también, y fundamentalmente, intérpretes y compositores. Se garantiza de este modo el aprendizaje significativo. Aprendemos más y mejor cuando somos protagonistas en primera persona del hecho educativo. Este nuevo planteamiento supone una mayor implicación por parte de los músicos de la orquesta y coro nacionales, al tutelar y guiar la actividad de manera presencial en los centros educativos que participan, reforzando los vínculos afectivos con la música a través del conocimiento personal de sus intérpretes. En este sentido, el proyecto educativo posee el valor añadido de la formación en este campo de miembros de la Orquesta y Coro Nacionales de España, realizada de forma paralela a nuestros proyectos. Los encuentros y vivencias experimentados dejarán, sin duda, una huella indeleble en todos los participantes, alumnos, profesores y músicos.
Bueno, pues
okay, it's a short video, but I think you probably get more or less the way it works. It doesn't show the process, which is what I'm going to talk about, but you do see the final outcome, which is a concert where, as you heard, the kids, the participants, share stage and experiences with professional musicians. And I point out, for instance, that most of the musicians we looked at there, which Rogelio said, in the National Orchestra, over 40 musicians have gone through this project, but it's the soloists that are taking part and very active role. It's young people, and they suggest their own projects, and they move and dance and create their own proposals, and they bring musicians and orchestras closer to the young people. And we saw that one of the pictures was not kids, it was a vulnerable group. RAI is another foundation we work with, and they work with the homeless. And so we get them to come in as well. They work for about a week, and then they go and watch one of the dress rehearsals of the orchestra with the music they've been working on. And that's why I said earlier that although the project is basically educational, it also has a social or a community side. And I've chosen this as the cover because you can see Antonio Arias, the flutist, and a girl next to her with a electric bass guitar. And the thing is that the plan is for the kids to express themselves with their own tools. If they play another instrument, they can use it, or they can use their voice, their body. We'll see how it works. And this model, as I said, is very interactive. It's all about action, because you retain that much better. You're not just a spectator in a concert. If you take part during a period of about 3 months working with the musicians in the classroom, obviously that experience, if it ends with a concert in a hall, in a theater where you normally see the orchestra, it really sinks in much more deeply. And the project, although it has a similar pattern, and I'll explain the stages in case you're interested in how it's organized, it's not always identical. We always try and look at the context in which the project will take place, who will be taking part, whether it's primary school kids or secondary school youths, or whether we'll be working with music students or with people who have not had any musical training before. If we're working with a particular social group, women or people who are in prison. So we first look at the people we'll be working with, and then the context in which they live, for example. Well, as well as working with the National Orchestra, in Adopt a Musician, we also work with, it was in Seville and in Bilbao, and it's quite different when you work in provinces that have their own very strong folk music than in Madrid, where this is not so present. So in projects in Seville, even though we might work on something else, there's always a flamenco element. In Bilbao, we also use popular music and local instruments, chistu and other percussion instruments, and you have to keep that in mind when considering a project, not to standardize too much, but to connect them to the community and to the local context. The artistic value, I think, is important. Beyond it being an interesting project as a process, and of course it's the working process that really matters, but ultimately there must also be musical quality and value. Of course, we're not working with professional musicians or artists. We can't lay the weight of the whole performance on the soloists, but the kids must feel that the musical outcome is worthwhile and is artistic. They must see it as such, not just as a show, but as something that artistically has value. And I say multidisciplinary because I think it's important to always have a combination of different artistic disciplines, to have a visual side to the performances, choreography, and in music, perhaps. Of course, you don't have painting or literature directly, but you know that it was there somewhere in the process as an inspiration, or the music, when the music was composed that they're working on, such and such book was being written, or this was the style of painting that was fashionable, so it can be used to explore other artistic fields. Collaboration between different institutions, I think it's very important. Just like we have to take advantage of the folk and popular music of the place, we also have to stay in contact with museums, libraries, because you can build really interesting synergies and have projects that will be mutually enriching. For instance, with the National Orchestra, we had the Art and Music project, where it was this project, Adopt a Musician, extended to the Thyssen Museum. So we worked with the paintings of the Thyssen Museum, writing music based on them, paintings based on the music, and so on. It was a really interesting partnership. And now we're collaborating with the National Spanish Library through composition of minuets for a quartet, and that's one of the Adopt a Musician projects we're doing with the National Library. And for example, collaboration between a theater that's promoting an opera project and schools in the city, like in Seville. The Maestranza Theater proposed, they produced an opera, which was another experience in which a large number of schools from the city and cultural institutes became involved and ran the project, and also collaboration with foundations, with the National Orchestra. For example, we've worked with the Antonio Gades Dance Company, carrying out a social project around the Fuente Ovejuna Ballet with a group of women at risk of social exclusion from the Tomillo Foundation. So that was another way of designing a project which then gave rise to a performance at the National Auditorium. So that these are the collaborations. And another aspect of this model is the emotional impact. As I said, everything that we experience, everything that you take part in actively, really sinks in much more deeply than when you just attend the concert as a listener. It can really move you, but not always and not as deeply. So I think the depth of these kinds of projects is a lot greater. And as I said, launching this project back in, well, it was in 2004, but the concert was in 2005 with the National Choir and Orchestra Association, because there's also choirs, not just orchestras. 2010 with the Symphony Orchestra of Seville and Bilbao, and this year in the Symphony Orchestra of Castilla y León. The objectives of the project are to bring music to students or other groups by composing and playing music under the guidance of musicians from the orchestra or choir. This is the important thing, working side by side with musicians who help them compose and create and who share with them. The kids are aware of the fact that they're sharing their lifestyle, their theater on the day of the concert, and it's really exciting and very nice project. Another goal would be to give teachers in the schools and resources that they can turn into part of their own educational repertoire. And this is the case because I've been told by a lot of teachers, particularly female teachers, because of course there are a lot more female teachers in this area. Perhaps there are more female music teachers, period. But I was often told that after taking part in a project of this type, when they go see a concert or a dress rehearsal, they use the same mechanism to work. Instead of using other exercises, they do these musical composing and performing activities. For example, kids go and see a concert. They told me that they went to see hosts the planets, and she worked on three planets in the classroom, used some musical motifs and developed them, and they played them with the children. And then when the children came back from their rehearsal, they said, well, the ones I liked best were these three, because of course we had played them already, and we knew them, because they hadn't actually performed the real score, but they did feel involved in the concert, and that's what you achieve. So we all learn something, the students, the teachers, and of course the musicians too. And I want to speak about musicians too, because the project is called Adopt a Musician, so I think I should also praise them for their work. And of course not all orchestra musicians collaborate in the same way, but there are a lot of them who really are dedicated and who are enthusiastic, particularly the younger people, but some not so young, who really get excited and involved and enjoy it tremendously. And that's why you need to increase the awareness of musicians, these sorts of projects, because they themselves provide training for the musicians, because they have to deal with the realities of the world of education. Right there in the schools, and they guide the students around the auditorium, show them where they work, where they play, and it's educational for the musicians themselves too. Of course, these are voluntary activities, but others don't really know what it's about or are not too enthusiastic initially, but eventually they realize that it is wonderful training for them as well. I spoke about educational projects for primary, secondary education, others for music schools or conservatories, not so common, but in this project I mentioned in Seville, we worked with the city's conservatories. It was those kids who played the music in the pit, and the singers were from the choir, so it was a collaboration from music training itself. Social inclusion, we have, again, vulnerable groups like the one I mentioned, these women from the Antonio Gades Foundation, prisons, prison inmates. With the Seville Orchestra last year, we were at the Seville 2 prison. It was really moving. Of course, you have to adapt the projects in order to carry them out in this kind of setting. Hospitals. Because they're music students, but they are with their school class. And so for kids who study the clarinet in a music school, and then in their secondary school, they play as soloists. For them, it's also an additional benefit. And this project, for example, just from last year or 2 years ago, is a mixed group, primary and secondary school kids. Usually it's either or, but in this case it was a mixed project, four schools usually. You have the ones in yellow, the ones in small ones in white in the middle, and they're all playing together. There are some pieces that they all play together and others that they play separately. And the participants are generally four schools, although it depends on the size of the room or the hall. It can go up to six. And the groups are generally 30 kids, because that's the usual standard classroom size. There's a teacher in charge, which is usually the music teacher, and then a support teacher who helps them when they have to go to the rehearsals and so on. And four musicians from the orchestra or the choir or whatever entity, as many as schools in the project, because each school will adopt a musician. And going back to the Produce an Opera project in Seville, they didn't adopt musicians there. The kids, music students, were in the pit, but they adopted the technical staff, because what they did was professional training centers and art schools in Seville designed the sets, the costumes for Hamperdinck's Hansel and Gretel. So they had music schools and professional training centers in Seville, and they adopted the technicians from the theater, lighting, costumes, sets, makeup, and so that was more like adopt a technician, really, adopt a designer. And for everyone involved, whether it's musicians or whomever, it's really exciting to take part in that process and see how the kids become involved, and ultimately you come up with a project that we can all be proud of. And perhaps at some point they'll have an adopt a manager, and you will be able to enjoy that process too, which I'm sure would be lovely. Normally the projects last for a quarter, school quarter, there's the meetings, you go to the school with the musicians, and then there's the final concert. How can you adapt this for other projects, social projects? It's difficult to have them last 3 months, because these groups are not always able to maintain or sustain the effort for so long. It's Seville too, the prison. What we did was to concentrate everything into a week. And so in the afternoons, I would go there to the prison with some of the musicians from the orchestra, who are also working on adopt a musician with children that same quarter. So you can optimize resources, because these musicians who are working with children in the schools were, of course, very dedicated, and they agreed to also take part in the prison project. We worked 3 afternoons with the inmates, and that was really amazing. And it was all about a concert with the orchestra on Friday. So we worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in the prison on the repertoire surrounding Carmen and Seville. So it was music from Carmen and opera overtures around Seville. And they made their own musical proposals. They wrote poems and drew. And we designed a concert before that orchestra concert. So on Friday, they had their own production with these musicians from the orchestra. They had their own concert, and then the orchestra performed. And it was really very moving, as you can imagine. And that's why I said that you need to adapt the projects to the different settings. You can make them shorter, longer, but always maintaining the interactive nature and the fact that it's work with the musicians from the orchestra, and there is a work that, or a repertoire that the participants will hear the orchestra perform, either the concert or the dress rehearsal. And this happens, of course, in the schools or in the social centers or whatever it is that will be taking place, and in the auditorium. It's important, the auditorium, the theater, wherever the orchestra usually performs. That's where the kids will go and play and watch a performance. Stages of the project, from design to finish, are, well, first, of course, the selection of the works that are always selected within the season program. So we select the program that we are interested in because of the theme or the music, and which fits with the school year calendar, because we can have, say, 3 months and make sure now it's not June because it's the exams. You have to keep these things in mind when you're going to work with students. You select the work and then come up with a timeline, like for any project, disseminate the project, select participants. Usually here we work with the education departments and the regional education ministries in each region. Or maybe not, because in Bilbao we do it, and it's the orchestra itself that does dissemination. But if you can work with people from the Ministry of Education, it's always useful. Also because you can organize it in such a way that the teachers will get credits, for instance, for their participation, or get points for their internal promotion. So that's important too. And then, of course, there's the proposal, the materials, and say, well, we're going to work on these movements in this suite, and we're going to do this together, and here there will be soloists, so you design, and then you share it amongst the schools. And then, of course, teacher training and musician training. That's very important, because you have to find time for joint sessions with musicians and teachers, where you combine or apply the material that has been designed and start deciding, say, we're going to use this beat that Stravinsky uses here, or we can start on based on the storyline, or we're going to use this sentence from this opera. And they find it really interesting, and I actually found it a bit difficult initially to realize that. I don't know why, because I studied in a conservatory and I should have known better than anybody, but it seems that the professional musicians who are in the orchestras must have the ability to create and improvise, and yet they don't. Very few, to start with, have that kind of ability or talent, which doesn't mean they refuse or anything. They just tell you, well, tell me how to do it, and that's what we do, to help them create, because they're not necessarily good at it. And then we start with the workshops in the schools. You can usually have two or three workshops. I try and have three in the schools. I think that's the best number. One a month or every 3 weeks or so. I will go to the school with the adopted musician, and we will work there with the kids. And then between visit and visit, the teachers and the students will continue to work on the project. And when we go back, they have new proposals, or they've developed the ones we made. And then it's very important, the students attend the dress rehearsal. Their musician will show them where he or she works and the piece they're working on. If it's Rimsky-Korsakov-Sherezade, they will see the orchestra performing the Sherezade that they've been working on as creators. And sometimes what happens is you go to a dress rehearsal and the kids say, oh, they're not playing it properly, that's not the way it is, because they feel that their performance is the real one. And I think that's interesting because they recognize the melodies, they recognize the rhythm or the essence. Even if the melody is not the same, they can identify this particular sound and style of each composer. And then there's the dress rehearsal for the project, and the students prepare their performance, their final concert, and the evaluation. In the final concert, I'll be really brief because I think I'm running out of time. The final concert is usually the student concert with their adopted musician. But ideally, as it was done initially with the National Orchestra, there was a first half with the students, and then after the interval, the orchestra performed the original work. This is what was done in Seville, and I think it's the best thing to do. And one of the musicians, Miguel Domínguez, who's a clarinet player, what he says is that the direct involvement in this project, trying to help the students to think of those aspects that inspired the composer, lets the students become involved in the creative process, which is in itself a very positive experience. But the best part of this project, what really makes you think that the effort was worthwhile, is not actually the performance of their proposals. For me, it's the time when the students listen to the original work during the concert, right after their proposals, with the musicians they adopted in the orchestra. They value what they're hearing in an entirely different way. You only have to look at their faces. They are really understanding the music as if they had gone through the creative process side by side with the composer. And that will enable them to develop a taste for this music. That's when I felt that the adoption process was really worthwhile. Okay, I've run out of time. All right. Okay. Sorry. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. And that's it.